Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in the studio with us. Sheriff, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good. I only knew Mugs and Jugs as a place I had driven by enough times, you know, going to Milton up Davis Highway or whatever, and then all of a sudden we have this stabbing that winds up being a no charge because the person who started it was the one who became the victim of the stabbing and it was a self-defense case. Okay, fine. But then what, like 2 or 3 days later, we had this fight became a shooting at a Mugs and Jugs. And this is, oh my God, this story is just crazy. I mean, it's crazy enough, but it's just like how it happened is awful.
Yeah, you know, it's been played out, I guess, but I will go ahead and discuss because we haven't discussed
You're
it.
You're right.
What I understand is two females are getting an argument inside of Mugs and Jugs. They decide to take it outside, and they take it outside and they are fighting when one of the girl's boyfriends, in kind of a punk move, quite frankly, he attacks her, one of the girls, and strikes her on the side of the head, knocks her to the ground, seemingly unconscious, according to the witness statements. And then his girlfriend jumps on top of her, starts beating her again.
Keeps hitting her while unconscious.
She appears to be unconscious, yeah. Yes. And then, for no reason whatsoever, pulls out a gun and shoots her several times as
the,
she lays on the ground.
The guy, the girlfriend.
He pulls out a gun. So he's standing over her still, pulls out a gun and shoots her multiple times. And then he grabs his girlfriend and they leave the scene, only to turn himself in later on. It's beyond me. You hear about arguments, and a lot of our times arguments happen at a number of different places, and we hope that they don't escalate into a fight. And
right.
If the fight, hopefully doesn't escalate into, the use of weapons or serious injury. And in this case, all that happened. It escalated to a homicide. So he's being charged with murder, and then we ended up charging his girlfriend as well. I don't recall her name right now, but charging her as well, because again, the other girl was laying on the ground and she continued to punch on her. Usually when people fight, there's a thing called mutual combatants, both people are involved in it. We don't always charge people in that situation, mm-hmm. but in this particular situation, there was no need for any of that.
That's something, just your comment makes me think of this. You watch TV shows, okay, and people are involved in a fight, and the cops tell them they're going to arrest them for disturbing the peace or something like that. Because, as you say, it's mutual combatancy. It's not battery, really, at that point, because you're mutually doing it or whatever. But it's still a crime to fight. We typically, there's this expectation that people are going to fight, they're going to work out their differences, and they're going to go nurse their wounds, and everything's fine. They're not anticipating it getting shot multiple times and killed in the middle of a parking lot at the bar, right?
Yeah, I mean, and to be clear, if someone just hauls up and starts punching someone, you will go to jail for that. But if it's like both people are getting fired, both people are pushing and shoving, and then they get into a wrestling match of some sort, typically, we don't charge someone in that scenario unless someone again, we talk about reasonableness.
Right.
If someone ends up unconscious and their person continues to wail on them, there's no reason for that, and that's typically when we make charges, and kind of what we did this time too, where again, the fight itself, probably if it had stopped early on, we probably would not have arrested anyone, but the way it turned out, obviously some people were going to jail.
Of course, yeah. We also had an awful incident at the T&W flea market. Somebody was stabbed to death, is my understanding. Is that right?
Again, we're still investigating that. We had a couple of people of interest. We talked to them. We talked to witnesses, and we're still hoping to get information. So what I understand is there was an argument of some sort, again, and then a black male went to the victim, and they thought they pushed him, but apparently they stabbed him around the neck or clavicle area.
Oh, God.
And ended up taking his life because of that. So we're looking for any witnesses to what took place, and asking if anyone knows the individual that did it, please let us know.
During the flea market was operating at this time, just happened to be nearby, day, night, I don't really know the facts, sorry.
It was operating, but it was in an area that's not very well attended. It
okay.
was like in a
like
I'm,
the back
I'm
end,
the
west end or something.
T&W, but yeah,
okay.
There was a back area where not too many people were. We believe that the victim was homeless, and that group of people that were around them, some of them would be homeless as well.
Okay. We also had it's kind of a weird week. We had a couple of cars got stolen and then set on fire after, and in Molina, is that right?
Yeah, let's look at this. You don't find burning cars for no reason.
Not normally.
Burning cars because they're involved in a crime, and so we're looking at that connection to that drive-by shooting that we had on Mission Road.
Oh, so the thought is that this might be related to the Mission Road drive-by on Saturday.
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
But again, we're working it with the fire marshal's office, and we've seen this before.
I assume you figured out who the owners of the vehicles were. I mean, the cars were broken into. The cars had keys under the floor mat or under the, do we know anything about, like, the cars getting stolen in the first place or how long ago they got stolen?
Yeah, we know they were stolen the week prior.
Okay.
And then we know that, obviously, that we think that they were involved in the drive-by shooting.
Okay.
And then, obviously, these are the ones that were burned. I don't know the particulars on how they were stolen.
Okay.
But if it's like anything else, I can tell you 95% of the time they're stolen because the keys were left in the car.
People are not typically breaking in, hot wiring, doing that kind of thing. They're just opening doors. As I was going to say, even these days, if that's even possible, I don't even know. We got a text in. Somebody said, why didn't you charge the girlfriend as an accessory? But you did charge her as an accessory. And
we charged her with battery.
Oh, not as an accessory to the murder.
We didn't have anything because there was no indication that she actually helped him as they were leaving. In fact, he called us and turned himself in for all.
Okay.
So there's not enough to charge her with accessory.
Got it.
Because I saw the video. There's some surveillance, and she did not take part in the shooting part.
Okay, that was at the Mugs and Jugs. In case people weren't following that transition, sorry about that. You also had just overnight we had another shooting at Yoakum Court. Is that right?
Yeah, I just got a text that we had an individual, 61-year-old male, that was shot a couple times. Don't know his condition yet, but he was shot through the window. And appeared to be a targeted attack on this particular individual. Again, we're looking for information on this one as well. But it just happened. We just got there a couple hours ago, I guess, and I don't have any more information except for that.
Okay. But again, this kind of just to give people perspective, I know we talk about these violent incidents, and, sometimes violence is domestic, in which case it sort of could be anywhere. Sometimes violence isn't. Unexpected byproduct of, like, at the Mugs and Jugs, where you would think it wouldn't get to that point. And then an awful lot of this violence and shooting is basically it's drug dealers and crime and retaliation and, personal insults and all that kind of stuff. At this point, do we have any sense of sort of which thing is involved here? Or?
Well, we talk a lot about what the result of the homicides are, and I typically say about 2/3 of them are drug related, and 1/3 is domestic related. If you recall, over the last couple of months, we had a murder suicide domestic related. Yep. We had another one that was domestic related. We talked about the Mugs and Jugs is pretty much an outlier. That was like a spur of the moment thing, resulting from a
strange
fight.
One for sure.
And so we do have those, but I will maintain that this is one of the 2/3 parts.
Okay. And then the other thing, it's because it's what you do, it's still related to bad things, but it's a good news about the bad things that you guys are taking care of. You had a huge drug and guns bust, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of times we investigate something short term and we make an arrest, and a lot of times we put it out on our Facebook page where our guys make a great arrest based on a traffic stop. But this one was the result of a long term investigation that we partner with a DEA and Pensacola Police in Santa Rosa County and all that. And months it took us to handle this investigation, but we announced last Wednesday the investigation resulted in the seizure of over 17 pounds of cocaine.
Wow.
And if you look at the picture that we put out there, some of it's still wrapped up in the kilo packaging that you would see back from as far back as the 80s.
Like in the movies?
Yeah, like in the movies. Well, like it was real, yeah. 200 pills of fentanyl, 1 pound of methamphetamine. We had quite a bit of marijuana, but again, a pound and a half, it looks like, maybe 2 pounds. A stolen AR-style rifle, 3 more handguns, 6 vehicles, and over $300,000 cash were seized during over the course of the investigation. So,
wow.
I'm very proud of the work that our investigators do. People say, how come you're not getting the people that are bringing the stuff in here? Well, we're doing all of that. We have street-level enforcement, but we also have really upped our game with regards to our partnerships with some of the federal authorities and state authorities, so we can do investigations just like this, because we talk about this 2/3 of the is drug-related,
yep.
And my thought is that we can have a multi-pronged approach to this, and this is just one – if you recall, a year or so ago, we had a what we called a record-breaking investigation of a lot of marijuana, and we seized a bunch of cars and, mm-hmm. and almost $1 million in cash and jewelry during that one. So these are some big-time investigations that we got going on that last sometimes months. In addition to the, you know, the street level, our uniformed patrols out there doing a great job, and then we have, you know, gun crimes that are doing good work out there as well.
And is this the kind of situation where you'd have, pardon me for using the only terms I know, but stakeout, surveillance, you'd have guys in houses and, you know, on rooftops and, you know, drones or what? I mean, you know, that kind of thing to make sure that you're making the right case and identifying the right people, and you've got all the, you know, all the justification for your warrants and all of that, and then you go in and you're like, here's the stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
without getting too many details,
I know you can't say too many particulars.
You see, as Kenny says on TV.
Yeah. Okay.
It's that sort of thing.
Well, hey, congratulations to your folks, man. That's fantastic. Anything else we need to know before we wrap up? Anything coming up? Good stuff you want to promote?
Well, we're in I think week 4 of our Female Blazer Academy.
Oh, that's
we'll
great.
Graduate in 2 more weeks.
And how many?
This is the class number 5.
No. How many girls are in this one?
Oh, there are, I think, 24 girls in this particular class.
So, and this is the first female one, though, right?
No, it's the second female.
Okay,
female
got it.
Class. And again, they're doing very well. I stepped in 2 weeks ago, and I'll be there tonight for a little bit, and just to see the, you know, the expression on a girl's face, the interaction that they have, it's really, really very rewarding for those who are participating.
I love it. That is fantastic. Sheriff Simmons, I'm sorry. I did have one thing I was going to ask you. Anything to add notes about the W Street? Because you guys responded to that. The fight inside that led to the pulling of the fire alarm that led to the crowd outside that was then dispersed. I know your folks showed up. I don't think they made any arrests, though. Is that right?
No. In fact, I got some calls yesterday about, you know, how well our deputies handled it, because apparently the juveniles we were dealing with were rather disrespectful. So I'm going to go back and look at some of the body camera footage, and I may actually put it out to let people know what we deal with. But yes, this is a group of what was described as a large group of juveniles that were unruly inside the theater. The manager pulls the fire alarm and to get everyone out, and then locks the doors, calls us, and we remedy the situation pretty quickly. This is not California. This is not one of those areas where they can just run roughshod over a business or certainly law enforcement. If you I'm not talking about this one because we were not attacked. If we were attacked, then people would have went to jail. But I can tell you that we're not going to tolerate this kind of nonsense here. And if you attack our deputies, you're liable to get punched in the mouth. That's just the way it is.
Understood. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us all safe and making our quality of life here in Escambia County better, sir. I appreciate the work.
You bet. Y'all take care.